We're reading from the first book of Genesis, chapter 1, the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. And God said, "Let there be light." There was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees in the land that bear fruit with seed in them, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be light in the expanse of the sky, to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater one to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God sent them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to present the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, let there be birds flying the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great contents of the sea, and every living and moving thing with which the waters teem, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every other living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I will give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit on it with seed in it. They will be food for you, and for all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground. Everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And so it was. God saw that he had made, and that it was very good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Then the heavens and the earth were complete in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because in it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done.
Thank you, Lynn. very long reading, and I did actually say to Lynn, do you want to do just half of it? She said, no, I'll do it all, so I thought, that's fine. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for your word to us. We thank you for the account of creation and how things all fall into place. And Lord, as I expand on this and with the word that you've given to and placed on my heart, Lord, I pray that you would touch each of our hearts and minister to each one of us. Help us, Lord, to engage with what you say and who you are, Lord. Lord, we lift everything that we are to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start today a sermon series which I've entitled Those Questions. Those Questions. Because when we read the Bible, there are always questions that we want to ask. I mean, it's about the bits we don't understand, isn't it? We want to ask those questions. You know, what does it mean when it says, and how could that have happened? And why was it like that? And even more importantly, what can I learn from this, if anything? All of those questions, all of us have those sort of questions as we read the Bible. And there's obviously too many questions to tackle all of them. But through this series of sermons, I hope to address some. When we open the Bible, we see that it starts with the book of Genesis and the account of creation. We read that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. Straightforward? Maybe. But you know, for some, this produces questions. You see, the problem with this is that many ask, how long was a day? How long was a day? Is it literally 6 24-hour days, or is it 6 extended days? Time periods. Such time periods could cover over millions of years. I mean, does it matter? Well, to some it is of great importance. Do you know, I was looking on Google. I mean, you probably all Google yourself, I assume everybody Googles. And if you Google, how old is the Earth? The first thing you read is this. Today, we know from radiometric dating that Earth is about 4.5 billion years old. Had naturalists in the 1700s and 1800s known Earth's true age, early ideas about evolution might have been taken more seriously. Really? Yeah, if you were someone who believed in evolution, and you're trying to balance evolution and your faith in God, how long creation took is of vital importance. Indeed, there are contrasting views of Genesis 1. As you can see on the screen there, there's the view of the calendar day view, which views Genesis 1 as a straightforward historical narrative. The repeating formula, there was evening and there was morning, the first day, and so on for the 6 days, obviously refers to 6 24-hour periods. This conclusion, combined with looking at the years given in biblical genealogies, you know, all those lists of names and how long people live for, lead most advocates of this view to believe that God created the material universe in one ordinary week between 6 and 10,000 years ago. Those who hold this view are known as young Earth creationists. By contrast, as we see on the screen, there is what is known as the day-age view. Those who hold this view argue that each day in Genesis 1 may be millions of years long and even overlap with one another. Advocates of this view tend to accept the scientific evidence of the great age of the universe, and they are called old Earth or progressive creationists. It's not that they don't believe, it's just that they are more analytical in their thinking. What do you think? Perhaps the question is, How can we really know? But if you are struggling with the authenticity of the first chapter of the Bible, how then can we gauge the rest of it? I love the story of Noah. I love the story of Noah, recorded in chapter 6 to 9. I recently read this. And it talks about how a righteous man is told by God to build an ark because God was going to flood the earth. And in Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 to 17, it says this. It says, "So God said to Noah, 'I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make for yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark within 18 inches at the top. Put a door in the side of the ark, and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath, the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish.'" Do you know, I've read this account several times over the years, but it's only recently that it struck me that God doesn't give Noah a time frame. He doesn't say, "Right, Noah, we're going to build this ark. I want you to build this ark, and it's going to take just 6 months to complete." No, there is no time frame mentioned. It will take as long as it takes. Imagine God giving us this task. "I want you to build me a big boat. Let's call it an ark." Now, if we were someone wood-minded, you know, someone who likes wood, a carpenter, for example, it would take a lot less time than if we were someone who had absolutely no knowledge of wood, nails, and screws. But the main thing here is it will take as long as it takes. When Noah had finished, then and only then the flood will come. And similarly, I believe that it's the same principle in Genesis 1. Creation took as long as it took. Whether it was literally days or time periods, it took as long as it took. 2 Peter 3 verse 8 reminds us that God's timing is unique. You notice that? God's timing is unique. For it says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day." We measure time in hours and minutes, seconds, don't we? We govern how long something should take, basically by the hands on the clock. But what if time changed? What if we suddenly realised that we weren't in control of it? There's a lovely story in 2 Kings chapter 20, which tells of King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah is ill to the point of death. He's actually on his sickbed and he's ill to the point of death. And the prophet Isaiah tells him to put his house in order because he is going to die. That's it. Game over. He's going to die. As Isaiah is off out the door, it tells us that Hezekiah turns over on his bed. He turns to the wall and he prays. And he says this, "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And we're then told that he wept bitterly. God tells Isaiah to go back to Hezekiah and tell him that he will be healed and that he will in 3 days go up to the temple and worship God. And then Hezekiah asks Isaiah, he says, "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I will go to the temple of the Lord on the 3rd day from now?" And Isaiah answered, "This is the Lord's sign to you. that the Lord will do what he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or the shadow go back 10 steps? It's basically the same as sitting in a garden on a summer day. And you see, you know, I don't know if you've got the garden like we've got, where the sun actually goes from one side to the other, or it goes back and forth, wherever you're, however your garden's positioned. But you see the sun creeping over, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. And basically, what Isaiah is saying, that the Lord is asking, shall the shadow go forward a bit further, or shall it go backwards? And that's what he's saying here. And it says, it's a simple matter for the shadow to go forward 10 steps, says Hezekiah. Rather have it go back 10 steps, then it go backwards. Then the prophet Isaiah called upon the Lord. And the Lord made the shadow go back 10 steps. It had gone down the stairway of Ahaz. Suddenly from this story, we can see that we are not in control of time. How time works is governed slowly, solely by God. Yeah, that time that we see that shadow going, yeah, we think, oh, that's something we can control because we've got the watch on our wrist, etc. But God is solely in control of time. So if he decides that a day in creation, in the creation account, is literally 24 hours, or if he decides that the day is more than 1,000 years, then who are we to argue? Who are we to question? Who are we to get hung up on God's time frame? Yes, there are always those who will debate the how long. How long? Those who draw our attention to the Hebrew word for day being yom. Yom. God explicitly chose the word day, Hebrew yom, to describe the length of time for each creation period. They explain that the word always means a 24 hour literal day when it is used with a numeral, 1 day, 2 day, first day, second day, etc. And there is no exceptions to this rule, they will say. And in the Genesis account, creation account, yom is used with a numeral, indicating that it intends the reader to understand that this is a literal 24 hours day. And then there are always those who argue the other side. I recently read that evidence for progressive creationists, that's the ones who say that, you know, a day is, well, a time period, could be millions of years. Yeah, evidence for that could be taken from Genesis chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. Let me read it to you. It says, a river watering the garden flowed from the Eden. And from there it was separated into four waterheads. The name of the first was the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. God plants a garden and puts a river in it, which splits into four waterheads, or four other rivers. And it's the onyx found there that fascinates the most, verse 11 of that passage. You see, onyx is formed by the deposition of silica in gas cavities in lava, which results in the distinctive bands and stripes seen in the stones you can see on the screen. This isn't something which is formed overnight. It takes millions of years. You can see the argument coming. I'm sure we've all heard the saying, which came first, the chicken or the egg? But equally, we can ask, which came first, the tree or the seed? Did God plant loads of seeds which grew into trees? Or did he create fully grown trees that produce seeds? In a similar way, God could have made a mature earth which appears to be older than it is. So instead of taking millions of years, it could have taken only 6 days. The truth of the matter is, we can never really know because we weren't there. The Bible, regardless of man's clever arguments, doesn't give us any real clue so that we can definitely come down on one side or the other. But what matters is that our God is big enough. Our God is powerful enough and awesome enough to create all that we see. And not only to create it, but to sustain it. The many symbiotic relationships between plants and insects and animals that depend on each other for survival proves without doubt that there is a creator God. And what we learn most importantly from Genesis, regardless of any time frame, is that God is in control. 6 days or six time periods of time. Do you know, my faith can accept both. Because I know beyond doubt that God created. And to worry about which it is will not add a single thing to my walk with Him. It is the fact that God can, God did, and He does is what spurs me on in my relationship with Him. Friends, His hand is on our life, guiding and shaping us through every day. He knows everything about us, and it is He who is in control. This is what we learn from the creation passage. He is in control. So the answer to the question of how long's a day, is, well, it took as long as it took. And that's all we really need to worry about. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Lord, we have questions about the Bible, things that, you know, really irritate us, things that we say, well, God, I don't understand this piece. I don't understand. And Lord, sometimes it's good to, you know, to thrash it around a bit and try to find out the ins and outs of things. And sometimes, Lord, there's no evidence to say either one way or the other. And we have to just take things on faith. And to realise that, Lord, even though perhaps a day was a single day or whether it was millions of years, Lord, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you are in control. That, Lord, you are the one who defines creation. You are the one who sustains creation. And you are the one who sustains us and gives us life. Lord, let us take a real sense of a pleasure, a real sense of just being with you, Lord. And that our faith would be enough to realize that, Lord, you are in control, regardless of any time frame. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.